This lecture is on meiosis, which is the process that allows organisms to have sexual reproduction. Now, let's take a look at the two words, mitosis and meiosis, and just take a look at the Greek roots. The word mitosis comes from mito, which means thread, and sis, the act of. And so mitosis really literally translates the act of making threads. And we know that mitosis is the process of basically reproducing a cell. So if a cell wants to make a carbon copy of itself, it goes through mitosis. And the act of making threads, of course, is what we see when we look through a microscope at this process, because we see the chromosomes in the nucleus appearing, and we see them as little threads, and they kind of condense, and then they do their little dance that we've discussed in the previous lecture. Meiosis, on the other hand, comes from a Greek word to make less, and once again, cis, the act of. And so meiosis is the act of making less. And that's the key idea behind meiosis. We actually reduce the chromosome number by half. And we're going to take a look at that. So on the next slide, let's just look at two types of reproduction that organisms can use. First of all, asexual. We all know what that is. It's when one cell produces two identical cells. It just basically splits in half. And the process that allows that to happen is what I just mentioned, mitosis. And it's real simple. We talked about it in the last lecture. You double your number of chromosomes, and then you divide. And mitosis is the process of taking those doubled chromosomes and separating them into the two identical cells that are the result of mitosis. Sexual reproduction is different. In this case, two organisms combine their genetic material to make a new cell. In order for that to happen, the process of meiosis must occur, because what needs to happen is each of these organisms needs to reduce their chromosome number by half, then they need to find a partner, and then they need to share their genetic material to make an offspring that has the original number of chromosomes that each of the parents had before they went through meiosis. And so in terms of sexual reproduction, you need this process called meiosis. If you didn't have meiosis, every generation you would double the number of chromosomes in your offspring, and that would be a disaster. Okay, so this brings us to our next slide, which we need to kind of define two types of cells. There are somatic cells, and there are reproductive cells. And these somatic cells, the word soma is the Greek word, which means body. And it turns out that 99.9% of all cells in an organism are somatic cells. Okay, so if you pick any cell, like a skin cell, a liver cell, a kidney cell, whatever it is from your body, it's going to be a somatic cell. And all these cells are produced through the process called mitosis. There was an original cell, and then it just went through the process of mitosis and made two identical cells, and then those two went through mitosis again, and so on and so forth. And that's how we have trillions of cells that make up our body. Now, there's another group of cells called reproductive cells, and these are very specialized. We call them the gametes, and the Greek word for gamete means wife or husband, and gamos means marriage. So all these words, gametes and gamos, refer to wife, husband, and marriage. And so you kind of get that these are involved in sexual reproduction. And so there's two types of gametes that are produced. There's egg and there's sperm. And it turns out in humans, we only produce these specific reproductive cells in one of two organs, either the ovaries, if you're a female, and the testes if you're a male. It's the only place where meiosis occurs. And the result of meiosis in a female is the production of eggs, and the result of meiosis in a male of meiosis is sperm. And so that's kind of the distinction. We have most of our cells, 99.9% of our cells are somatic. They just go through mitosis. That's how they reproduce. But the reproductive cells are very specialized, and they're only found in two places in humans, ovaries and testes, and meiosis is what causes those reproductive cells, those gametes, to be produced. Now, the key thing you need to know is when you get to the next slide is that chromosomes come in pairs. That should be kind of a basic understanding for you. Now, this is true for most organisms, not all, but for most organisms. And we're talking about the adult form of those organisms. And so if someone were to ask you, how many chromosomes does an organism have? The answer would always be a multiple of two. Because it turns out that every chromosome has a buddy. Now, this buddy is similar, but not identical. So we have a special term for these two chromosomes. We call them homologous chromosomes. Okay. Now, why do we have, you know, these buddies? Well, we don't know for sure, but the reason we have homologous chromosomes, one of the reasons might be, is sort of a redundancy in the system. You have two copies of everything in case, you know, you need that extra copy. And so let's look at how this system works. And we're going to use an example. Imagine an organism that has four chromosomes. So what you should immediately think is, oh, four chromosomes. That means two pair. So when we look at meiosis and you go to the very beginning of meiosis, and the beginning of meiosis is prophase one, what you see is these two buddies, they actually line up, they pair up. And you can see that in the illustration in this PowerPoint slide. And what's happened is when you're looking at these guys who have paired up, you can see that they've also duplicated themselves. And because they duplicated themselves, and this, by the way, happened during interphase. Okay, remember the cell cycle. During interphase is when, during the S part of interphase, that's when the duplication of chromosomes occurs. And now we're down to the mitosis part, which is after interphase. And you've got a picture there of the cell cycle. And mitosis is the very end of the cell cycle after interphase has occurred. So duplication of chromosomes has occurred. And when they duplicate, you actually see that chromosomes have, they're kind of joined at the hip, I say it. And those that are joined at the hip, those are identical. And we call them sister chromatids. And so that'll be one sister chromatid. And what you see is you get this sister chromatid and then another sister chromatid, the homologous sister chromatid, they find each other and they form what is called a tetrad. And we think of these as two chromosomes together. And it's kind of weird the way you call it, you know, deal with the math here. And so let's go to the next slide, and we'll talk more about this. So I want to talk about diploid versus haploid. Diploid is when you have a cell that has two N, and that's a cell that contains two sets of chromosomes, and you get one from each parent. And the word di or diploid means two. So each chromosome is present with its homolog, its buddy, and the human diploid number of chromosomes, which is 2N, is 46. That means we have 23 pairs of chromosomes. And maybe you've heard of a company called 23andMe. It's right here in Mountain View. And it was based off this idea that the humans have 23 pairs of chromosomes. And the company actually does really interesting stuff with human genetics, which we'll talk about later. Note that this is an even number, like I told you. And remember, all somatic cells, all body cells, have a diploid number of chromosomes. Okay, what about a haploid cell? A haploid cell is N, and it's a cell containing only one set of chromosomes. And so each chromosome's homolog is not present. And the human haploid number of chromosomes is 23, and all the reproductive cells, all the gametes, have a haploid number of chromosomes. Okay, so all sperm have 23 chromosomes, all eggs have 23 chromosomes, and of course, this was the result of meiosis that occurred in either the ovaries or the testes. Now, on the next slide, you'll see the cycle of life in humans, and it's a really nice illustration here, and so let's kind of walk through it. So we'll begin with meiosis, and like I mentioned, meiosis occurs in the testes and the ovaries. And what happens is the chromosome number is reduced by half. You go from diploid to haploid. You go from 2N to N. You go from 46 to 23 chromosomes. So each sperm and each egg has a haploid number of chromosomes, 23. Then what happens is in the process of sex, the sperm and egg come together and fertilization occurs, and now the very first cell, our very first moment of life, was when the sperm and egg came together and it formed a new cell called the zygote. And the zygote is a single cell, and it is diploid, it's 2N, and it has 46 chromosomes. And then what happens is that zygote starts going through mitosis. It just starts replicating itself. And like mitosis we mentioned in the last lecture, it just doubles the number of chromosomes and splits, doubles and splits, doubles and splits, on and on and on, you know, many, many times until you've developed an embryo, then, a baby, and then, an adolescent, and then finally an adult. So that's the process that happens in our life. Just a quick review of some high points of meiosis in the next slide. I really want to focus on prophase one, since I think it's the most important thing going on in meiosis. Because what happens is during prophase one, chromosomes appear for the first time. During interphase, we cannot see the chromosomes. They're in the nucleus, they're there, but they're all spread out and we can't see them. But in prophase one, they condense, the chromosomes condense. And what we see, the first thing we see is we go, oh, look it, you've got this pair of sister chromatids. These sister chromatids actually are these, they look like little X's. And those are two, that's basically a chromosome with its identical pair. And you see those appear. The sister chromatid, they're identical, those two ones that are joined at the hip. It finds its homologous pair, and when it does that, they come together. And when they come together, and you can see in the illustration blue and red, so the homologous pair, one is, one sister chromatid is blue and the other one is red. They find each other, and that is called synapsis, when they sort of come together. And when they pair, we now call this a tetrad, because essentially there's four chromosomes there, okay? Each sister chromatid is, got two, and they come together. During that time, when they form that tetrad, the chromatids can go through a process called crossing over, and they form what's called a chiasmata, which is Greek for cross. And during that time, they can exchange DNA with each other. And it's really nice in this illustration because you can see a little piece of the red goes onto the blue and a little piece of the blue goes on the red. And that helps mix up the genetic material, okay? And then what happens basically is the process of meiosis occurs and you end up separating those homologous pairs from one another. and then the sister chromatids actually themselves come apart, and then you can see at the bottom the individual chromosomes, and now you've reduced the chromosome number by half. And in the very final slide, you can see a really nice comparison of mitosis and meiosis, and it shows that in metaphase of mitosis, all the individual chromosomes line up. But in metaphase one of meiosis, the homologous pairs line up. And that's because when you go through the next phase, which is anaphase, in mitosis, you literally will end up separating the chromosomes, but you'll have the same number of chromosomes in the daughter cells. But in meiosis, you're reducing those chromosome numbers by half. That's why the homologous pairs have to line up. And that I recommend looking at some of the animations and the CD-ROM. It will really help explain this because it's hard to do it in this kind of forum without seeing the actual movement of the chromosomes.